Good morning. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. It's Wednesday. It's right here in the middle of the week. So what you're going to do, study the Bible, of course. Spend a little bit of time this morning as we continue our journey through Acts chapter 5. Some very interesting, not that it isn't all interesting, but some very interesting text this morning. You know what? If you're going to give money to the church, you better give money to the church or God will kill you. What do you think, Pastor Boys Claire? Is that a good selling point for the church?
I think that's a little bit of a misapplication of that.
But it's an effective way of collecting debts, isn't it?
I imagine so. It's also from having people give on the basis of the law. Basically, you better give or else. And that's certainly not what this is saying. But we should be truthful to the Lord, and especially in our actions, our public actions in church.
Well, there's a good hint as to what we're going to be getting at today with the first part of Acts chapter 5. We're going through 16 verses this morning with Pastor David Boies Claire, serving two congregations, Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches, in the southern part of North St. Louis County. How are you doing? Good to have you on the program again.
Well,
thanks for being a fill-in. You know, this thing about pastoral emergencies, you know, you're dropping like dominoes this week.
I know. Alex Karras, too.
That was sad.
Passed on, you know. So I think, you know, the world is passing away before our eyes, I guess. Blink your eyes, more of what you've known throughout your life is passing away. But that is, of course, the way of the things of this world.
Yeah, and you know, St. Louis especially, because I have noticed that with some friends, when we get together and talk, that's where such-and-so used to be, and that's where such-and-so...
Yes, yeah.
All this stuff. That's where Gaslight Square used to be.
Yeah.
Everything changes, sadly.
And, of course, the Lord endures. As St. Paul says, that which is seen is temporal, and that which is unseen is eternal.
How goes everything at the resale shop? And I say, now, this would be a great way to get stuff for your resale shop.
Oh, my goodness. We got a really big donation from the Lutheran Youth Fellowship League of Holy Cross in O'Fallon. They were very, very helpful. They had a successful flea market, and all of those things that were not sold on last Saturday were brought very faithfully by those youth league members to our thrift store, and we're very thankful to Holy Cross O'Fallon and their LYF.
Everything's a dollar.
Yes, even we received a couch over the week.
You're going to sell me a couch for a dollar, really?
Absolutely. There's also an easy chair, but the easy chair is not in too good shape. But everything's a dollar. Nothing's over a dollar. There's a lot of things that are 25 cents or 10 cents. And I don't think they charge 5 cents for anything.
Well, if somebody wanted to give more, you wouldn't turn them down, would you?
Oh, certainly not. There are many of our customers that donate to the thrift store.
Now, is it open now? Was it 3000
Lucas and Hunt Road? Yeah. Yes, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
All right, so not today, but tomorrow, 10 a.m., go out and visit Pastor Boies Claire and maybe get a bargain for a buck. You could give a little bit more if you want to. 3000 Lucas and Hunt, which is about where relative to the
it's
highway?
It's just about half a mile south of Natural Bridge on Lucas and Hunt Road.
That's pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to find. Well, if you would start with prayer, this is going to be some enjoyable text today, because Ananias and Sapphira, I have found that so much of the book of Acts is just so ribaldly abused these days for all kinds of different purposes. And here we have another text that, well, some say justify why we should all be socialists.
Yes, that's exactly what I was picking out from looking at the text before in chapter 4. So,
if you pray, we'll get started.
Certainly. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send us your Holy Spirit that he may guide us as we study your word of truth. We desire to follow In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in all godliness and honesty. Of course, it is only by faith that we are saved, but we ask that by your word you would purify our hearts and grant that we might be faithful stewards of what you have given us. And guide us now as we look at this passage, and grant that we might be warned against sin, but encouraged in our faith. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and email kfuo@kfuo.org. If you've got an iPhone, if you've got an Android-based phone, a couple of websites, you go to the iTunes store, and you can download a free app for KFUO where you can stream us and correspond with us. Same thing applies to Android and other type of smartphones. You go to wonderradio.com, and you can download the app that's appropriate for the platform that you're using. All right, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 16, our assignment for today.
Yes.
But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and a great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him and carried him out and buried him. And we'll stop there for a moment.
Sure.
All right. Now, you know, Scripture does say, Pastor Boyce Clare, that if you're given much, much will be demanded. But does that specifically apply to money?
No. Obviously, it refers to spiritual gifts of course, again, gifts of God are both spiritual and material. But in a sense, I pretty much take that to be that the Lord has given someone knowledge in spiritual matters. Of course, I think you can't separate from that if someone is blessed with material wealth as well. Much will be required to whom much has been given. Much will be required, and in this case, of course, I think this particular passage proves that they weren't forced to do it. The early church was not a communist society. It was a spiritual society, governed by the Lord through his word and sacrament, and of course the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in this particular case, Peter said, well, you know, you had this property. It was up to you. You didn't have to. Evidently, what happened was they sold it, and then they represented to the apostles and the church that was the entire amount of money that was the proceeds from the sale, and they were giving it all to the Lord. And that was where the problem was. It wasn't the problem that they kept back something. It was the problem that they were lying about, you know.
Everybody lies, Pastor.
Oh, of course.
What's the big deal?
Well, in this case, the offering is given to the Lord and not to the apostles, not to the church. So they weren't lying. Well, they were lying to the church and to the apostles, but they're also bringing this gift before the Lord, and they were lying to the Lord. And of course, this is probably one of the most important passages in our teaching, that the Holy Spirit is God, because as Peter says, you lied to the Holy Spirit, and you didn't lie to men, but you have lied to God.
So, with all the lying and cheating and fornicating and all the other nonsense going on in Jerusalem at this time,
yes,
let alone in the temple, perhaps even some of those things.
Yes.
This crime in this place is worthy of death, really?
Well,
why not all those other people out there who are doing all those terrible things?
Well, in this, I don't think we see anything here that it is a crime worthy of death, but that's just basically how the Lord chose to deal with it. And Some have opined, and of course this is probably not our belief, that Ananias and Sapphira were basically God took them out of this life before they would commit, before they would lose their faith. that sounds like a reformed answer to that.
But this doesn't strike me as an act of people of faith lying to the church. People of faith don't lie to the church, do they, Pastor?
Yes, and as Peter mentions, you know, Satan has filled your heart. So in other words, there is sort of a an adversary from the outside that seems to have come into play in this scenario.
But in the simplest form, God actually holds us accountable for what we do.
Yes.
Wow, who'd have thunk it?
Well, I mean, that's that everyone will receive on Judgment Day according to their works. And of course, only those who have true faith are those who will have good works. And in this particular case, Ananias and Sapphira, that punishment was exacted of them.
The thing we probably should do, because you've mentioned this before in the program, that when these words were recorded, there were no chapters, no verse numbers, and that sort of thing. So perhaps what we should do is go backwards for a moment to the end of chapter 4, because there's another land deal that takes place at the end of chapter 4.
Oh, yeah.
Where Barnabas sells his property and gives everything to the church, but then we get an account of Ananias and Sapphira. So how do you link these two land transactions together?
Well, it seems to be something that the Christians in the early church, this is a very, very early church, where in verse 34 of chapter 4 it says, "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold." And so it was a sort of a free will action by the congregation to provide for those who were poor in their midst. And, it was something that was, they were motivated by Christian love to do this. And of course, Barnabas, Joseph Barnabas, was someone who would become important later as St. Paul's sidekick, you might say.
Yeah.
He of course showed that he was a generous and loving Christian by what he did and providing an example. And then of course Ananias and Sapphira and proved to be a bad example.
So maybe they broke the chapter at the wrong place.
Well, it seems like, but verse 1 begins with a but, and so yeah, a lot of times it was Stephen Langdon, who was Archbishop of Canterbury in the 12th century, who divided the chapter or divided the Bible into chapters. And then it was a guy, I can't remember his name, but it was in 1551 that they divided it into verses. And the guy that was dividing it into verses was riding his horse while he was dividing it into verses. And so as Dr. Charlemagne used to tell us, well, there were some times we probably hit a bump in the road when he divided the verses here. But you're right. There's maybe they should have did the chapter heading earlier, because that was the whole idea there with the donations, and it was beginning there.
But here we have two types of members of the church. We have a good type and a not so good type.
Yes.
And they're being set right next to each other for what purpose, do you think?
Well, it's as an encouragement and as a warning. And as law and gospel, in this particular case, Satan does tempt us into sin, and in other words, like the, you know, Barnabas was influenced by the Holy Spirit, and Ananias and his wife were influenced by Satan.
Now, see, this is the scary thing, don't you think? That even in the early church,
yes,
Satan seems to have some influence over people inside the church.
It's instructive that the forces of evil and evil in people is at work, even at times in which the church is new and fresh and undivided, you might say. And now, of course, in our day and age, it's divided. And as you get, another sad thing was that Protestants in America are down under 50%.
Oh yeah.
So again, the church is really suffering and diminishing in the eye. And then, of course, here this is sort of an encouragement in that, well, they had very serious problems in the early church as well as in our present day church.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor David Boisclair, our guest this morning. We're going through the first 16 verses of Acts chapter 5. You know it as the text dealing with Ananias and Sapphira. So you mentioned something. Ananias and Sapphira were Christians. Can we make that assumption?
They confessed that they were, or they came forward that they were, and again, they may have been. It doesn't, you know, we don't believe in the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, or once saved, always saved. Of course, you know, it might be possible that John Calvin would say, well, they never were Christians to begin with; they were just hypocrites. Obviously, this is a sign of being a hypocrite, but it's still possible for them to have come to faith and been sincere. And then, of course, as it says in the beginning of chapter 5, that Satan filled his heart, or filled their hearts. So in other words, that those who think they stand should take heed lest they fall. In the case of Ananias and Sapphira, what a falling off was there, to quote Shakespeare.
So there is a comparison then between the honesty of Barnabas and the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira. That's really what we're focusing upon.
Yes, yes. And it's a encouragement, and it's a warning. And
In Matthew 6, Jesus has some very unkind words to say about hypocrites.
Exactly. In fact, those are the ones he's hardest on, as opposed to maybe the open and manifest sinners, which, of course, the church ought to be use Christian discipline for anyone that commits sin that's open and manifest. And, of course, there's much in the law that should convict the heart of those who are acting hypocritically. That's why everybody has to examine themselves, especially before they come to Holy Communion.
So what is a hypocrite? I mean, in the way the word is being used here in this text, what is a hypocrite?
A hypocrite is someone who professes to be a believer while they aren't truly a believer. So they're pretending. They're an actor, you might say. And of course, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, they may have become hypocrites by the temptation of Satan. And they to commit such a horrible sin as to lie to the Holy Spirit. So a hypocrite is someone who doesn't practice what he preaches. That's the idea there.
So if you look at Mark 7:21, again, it talks about how everything evil comes out of the hearts of men. It's not what goes into you, but what comes out of you that is evil. So how do we deal with these thoughts when you're sitting there writing out the check for Sunday morning? And you go, well, you know, need that new tennis racket. I'll give more next week.
Well, I wouldn't say that's the same type of sin that went on here.
Oh, good, because I could use a new tennis racket.
It's more or less, you know, here you have a couple that wanted to make a big show of, you know, again, you don't know what the motives were, the other motives. Obviously, Satan moved his heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, so he fell to the temptation of Satan. But they're making, in a sense, sometimes people do that in order to look good to others and say, look at Ananias and Sapphira. They gave so much to the Lord and for the church. And so it's an outward show that Ananias and Sapphira want to put up. And of course it's a lie, because evidently there was something you needed to be honest about what you received from the sale of whatever you were selling, you know, the property that you were selling. Mm-hmm. And so it would be different in the case of a person who's writing out their check and then maybe come to the pastor and say, well, this is all of my discretionary money for this entire week or something. Not to say that they would die for doing that. this is a special instance in the history of the church when the Lord is establishing his church through the work of his apostles, and you have someone doing something like this. And so it's a serious matter to lie to the Lord.
Do you think Peter intended for this to happen, or was he perhaps shocked when Ananias drops and stops breathing?
It doesn't say that. I imagine Peter is probably horrified by the evil that's done here, and obviously God is making a point that it is not pleasing to him by the death of Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah, because if this means that God can and will randomly wipe out sinners, you better evacuate Las Vegas.
Yeah, I remember there was a film about that it was a comedy film, of course. God said they had to find, I guess, five good people in Las Vegas. One of the angels or whatever that was trying to find the good people became a human being and became a good person, and so Las Vegas wasn't destroyed by fire and sulfur.
Now, we have 2 minutes, Pastor Boies Clair, before we go to the break. How does the death, and we'll get to the second death here in just a moment, but how does the death of Ananias and Sapphira serve as an example to the others in the church?
It serves as an example to show that there is the possibility of a Christian falling away from their first faith, also that God takes seriously lying to him, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as the author of the Book of Hebrews says, because our God is a consuming fire.
Why doesn't this paint God as sort of a mafioso extortionist? Give or I'll kill you.
but see, the thing is God is not demanding that the people give. Oh. They do it out of the goodness of their hearts. to use a cliche.
Well, because the word fear comes in here, that they see this happen, and fear came upon all who heard of it.
Yes,
just a fear, a great fear came upon them all.
Yes, and a lot of times we think that's being afraid, but that is a awe and respect.
Oh, okay.
And in other words, that there is great power. That this is serious business. We're not playing here.
Well, what did they fear?
Well, they feared God's wrath. You know, whenever we sin against his commandments, so we should fear his wrath and not act contrary to them. Ultimately, as Jesus says, we need to, unless we repent, we will all likewise perish.
Hmm.
And not perish in the way that Ananias and Sapphira did, but in eternal damnation.
So a little fear now and again is not a bad thing.
Absolutely not. But it shouldn't be a little fear.
It just seems antithetical to the way people talk about church today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
And being a Christian is about sunshine and lollipops and all those fun things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pastor David Boies Clair, our guest this morning on the Bible study, it's Acts chapter 5, the first 16 verses. Join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And KFUO at KFUO.org. We'll be right back. Do stick around. morning. Welcome back to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor David Boies-Clair. Do check out his resale shop. Everything is a dollar. You can give a little more if you like. They're at 3000 Lucas and Hunt, which you said is what, about a half a mile south of
Natural Bridge Road.
See, I was paying attention.
Natural Bridge Avenue.
I was paying attention.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and then you said you've got a sofa out there. I mean, what does the sofa look like?
It's a sort of a gold or yellow sofa.
Yeah, somebody's got a basement or a rumpus room, and they need something for the kids to lay on while they play video games or whatever it may be.
All they need is a dollar and a truck to transport it away.
Oh, they have to bring... You're so demanding, Pastor. They have to bring their own truck. I would have come shopping there, but now, my goodness.
We have sometimes delivered things ourselves to try to help folks, but that's a little bit difficult.
What's your phone number? Because we always talk about folks buying the things, but they can always make donations, like you mentioned the group from O'Fallon. Who was that again?
That was the Lutheran Youth Fellowship of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in O'Fallon, Missouri.
Brought you a bunch of stuff.
Yes, and there, of course, it was sort of arranged through their secretary, who's now going to be a secretary at the Synod in Kirkwood. Tracy Quatham, a very fine Christian woman who really is concerned about the ministry of God's church, and of course all of the people there. You know, it was really wonderful when they brought in all of the donations, the smiles on the faces of the youth and their counselors that were there, and we're very, very warmed and encouraged by the Christian love of Holy Cross O'Fallon, because this is not the first time.
So if anybody else wants to be either an individual or the youth group or a congregation, if they want to bring, should they call ahead of time or just show up?
Just show up or call. They can call at 314-385-1426.
No, I was going to say, that's just call ahead of time probably is a better plan, because you don't want to just leave the stuff lay around.
Well, of course, the couch was sort of left there, but fortunately it didn't rain. You know.
All right, let's wrap up our text for today. We're in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. We've seen the death of Ananias, and now comes the second death in our reading for today. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And a great fear, there we go again, and a great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. And we'll stop there before we get to signs. And as if that's not enough of a sign and wonder, we still have more signs and wonders to come.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so one death is not enough. You have to kill them both? Really?
Well, that was God's will.
But where was the opportunity to confess? Where was the opportunity to repent, to make amends for what they've done and perhaps be restored to the congregation?
I imagine that was not something that the Lord wanted to happen. Otherwise, he would have moved Peter to, you know, it's interesting in the book of Joshua, where when they attack the city of Ai, there's Achan everything was devoted to destruction. Everything had to be destroyed. But Achan found, gold and other things, treasure there in this. It actually was in Jericho that he found all of these things.
Yeah,
and he kept these things.
Couldn't pass
the
temptation.
He hid them in his, in the earth under his tent. And then of course God found his sin found him out, because God found it out, and they cast lots, and they finally came up to Achan, and then Joshua says, "Confess your sin. You know, you've been found out." And in this case, obviously, that was not God's will for them to be given that opportunity. It's a warning, because maybe, you know, some of us, you know, it's a warning to us, because maybe some of us are engaged in sin of this nature. And you know, maybe it hasn't been brought to light or whatever, but, you know, the consequences are even worse for us if we die in these sins and don't repent.
So how does this demonstrate that God is a God of love?
Well, it's kind of, I guess it's
tough,
example,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, just because they may have died. I mean, again, maybe I'm engaging in a little bit of wishful thinking here, but it may be possible that being confronted, they may have repented, looking at it in sort of a kind of giving way to the gospel in this particular case. Their physical lives were taken from them.
No indication about where their spiritual,
where they went.
Their eternal destiny is.
Exactly. But the signs are not too good in this particular case.
I would say. Well, I guess if you look at verse 8, that really is a call to confess. You know, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. He's giving her an opportunity to say, well, maybe not that much, but she sticks to it.
Yes. Yeah. And again, you know, a lot of those details don't come out in this particular passage. It's kind of an unpleasant passage to a very. I'm not saying that it's not helpful, but it's just that it kind of fills us with dismay. But it also warns us about it. It's a serious matter for. Well, Jesus even said about a sin against the Holy Spirit that is an eternal sin. Of course, that type of sin is knowing that the Holy Spirit is at work and then calling the Holy Spirit an unclean spirit. As the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing. And Jesus warned them. He says, that's, you know, if you sin against the Son of Man, if you sin against me, that can be forgiven, but not the sin against the Holy Spirit. And the reason why, of course, is because when the Holy Spirit departs from a person, they cannot believe, cannot have faith.
And so
a person who's committed a sin against the Holy Spirit, of course, it doesn't matter because they don't feel any repentance or remorse.
Were Ananias and Sapphira then guilty of the unpardonable sin?
I don't think that's said here. I'm just saying that it looks at the seriousness of sinning against the Holy Spirit. Maybe I shouldn't have brought that in, but
it's worthy of consideration.
And in this particular case, I don't think that's mentioned. And the only thing that they suffered, according to the text, the only thing that they suffered was physical death.
Physical death.
Right.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor David Boies-Claire, our guest. Don't forget the email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones. John, good morning. You're up first with Pastor Boies-Claire. Go ahead.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Boies-Claire.
Good morning, John.
It's always a pleasure to speak to you both. Very interesting piece of scripture that we're studying here today. It caused us something to cross through in my mind here, and I got to thinking, wouldn't this part of scripture looking towards like from 3 until like from verse 3 to 6, wouldn't that be a great part of scripture to use if you're witnessing to people that doesn't follow the Holy Trinity or believe in the Holy Trinity?
Certainly, because it mentions the fact that the Holy Spirit is called God.
Yes, exactly. And that was kind of the question that I was just kind of wanting to toss out there. You have not lied to man, but to God, and I think that's about as clear can be, and it points through on, you know, the seriousness of not believing as far as the in the Holy Spirit and things of that nature.
Yes.
So that was just my sorry, Roland.
No, I'm sorry, but
I got a little bit behind on the piece there.
No, that's perfectly fine. But I'm just wondering while I've got you on the phone, John and Pastor Boies-Claire, mm-hmm. if you look, you know, over 2,000 years down the road, mm-hmm. Did God make his point? Do you think there is honesty and integrity in the Christian church today?
Honesty and integrity? Yeah, I believe there is honesty and integrity. I know there's definitely divisions and denominations and things of that nature. I'm Lutheran, so I look at it. I try to look at it from a Lutheran perspective. You know,
yes.
So you know, to me, I mean, that's the reason that I got to the LCMS was because of our the way that you know, we put forth the gospel, you know, in the truest form that I've ever found. So that's why I'm Lutheran. But you know, I think as man, we're always going to have our differences in denominations, but with the Bible, you know that is the true word, front cover to back cover. Follow that, and you can't go wrong.
Pastor?
That's a wonderful way of putting it. But, of course, again, you know, I think you, Roland, you probably were saying tongue-in-cheek. You know, while there is truth and forthrightness, there is, of course, a lot of sin, because we're sinners.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And in the case of Ananias, you know, I guess the warning in this is that, you know, could that possibly happen to me? I mean, ultimately, that's the question that you ask, mm-hmm. looking at it from the law. It is a serious matter to offend God. And so that's why, you know, Moses, you know, if you read the letter to the Hebrews, too, that's why Moses was shaking with fear when the people were, you know, first they said, everything that the Lord says we will do, and then they turn around and build a golden calf.
In fairness, Pastor, they just threw the gold in the fire and the calf came out.
That's right. That's what Aaron said. Out came this calf. You know, oh, fancy that.
Rowan, Pastor, I sure do appreciate it.
John, thank you very much. That's a very important point. The other
okay.
And God be with you. The other thing is too about the Holy
Spirit.
Thank you, John. Is that the Holy Spirit is not like electricity. The Jehovah Witnesses.
Oh, it's not a power force?
Yeah. The Jehovah Witnesses say that he is God's active force, and so he is not a person. Well, he is a thing, and of course the word pneuma in Greek, of course, is neuter. So, but then you have in the Gospel of John where Christ speaks of him as a he. So that kind of takes that away. And the Holy Spirit also in the book of Acts, as you will find out, also speaks to Philip, the evangelist.
Hmm. Yeah, there is a distinction, though, between Old and New Testament because, you know, it talks about the Spirit coming upon David and others in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the Spirit after Pentecost indwells us, right?
Both is truly the case.
All right.
And if you notice that in, you know, you have almost a Pentecost type of event happening in Acts 4, where they pray that they might be able to speak the word more boldly. And then it says the house was shaken.
Well, true, true.
Of course, there wasn't the rushing mighty wind probably and the tongues of fire. But
Shaking house is pretty good.
So, in other words, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was manifesting himself.
I see. Who are these young men? Now the burial detail twice in this day. And I'm sure they didn't come to church expecting to bury anyone.
Well, they were the ones that were able to do the hard work in the congregation. Some have opined that they were a lower group of clergy.
Well, I mean, I was wondering if they're perhaps the seminarians, so to speak, of the day.
Well, it may very well be. I'm just thinking, though, that they're just the ones that are able to, you know, do the heavy lifting.
The scrapping young fellows who can do it.
Yes, yeah. That's pretty much all that we can say. I mean, obviously, you can't have some of the old duffers trying to carry these folks out or their bodies out and bury them.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Chet, good morning. You're up next.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just letting you know that This is a very profound lesson, and it's probably a passage of scripture that doesn't get the attention that it should get.
I would agree with you.
The thought that came to my mind was the one where, that's the quote that, I don't know if it was Christ that said, if you're lukewarm, that he will spit you out of his mouth.
Yeah, that's Revelation. Yeah.
And, you know, this reminds us of our responsibility as Christians, that we have to be committed to that cause and understand the seriousness. I mean, it could apply to any one of us. And how that we take for granted our relationship to Jesus Christ. I was looking at these scriptures, Pastor Boyce Clare, and if there's some gospel in it, it's got to be implied. Because, you know, we can only hope, like you said earlier, that Ananias and Sapphira were sincere about their profession of faith, and that ultimately the gospel isn't that they were ushered into the presence of God after they died. But this is a strong law passage, and, you know, we just need to understand the seriousness of it. It's a good lesson.
Exactly.
Thank you, Chad.
Appreciate your words. That's very, very good insight on this.
Thanks for the call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Still plenty of time to get into the program if you would like to join us with a question or a comment. Let's round out the last of our text here and then, you know, sort of see where all this leads to. Because now you've had two deaths, and we seem to have changed locations again. We go from Barnabas, then to Ananias and Sapphira, and now we are back, I think at verse 12, we're back at the temple. Let's see where this is. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Well, you know, verse 13, Pastor, no kidding. If people are going to be dropping dead, I'm not going to want to hang around them either.
Well, I mean,
seriously.
I imagine that might have been the thinking of some of them, because they were you know, the awesome manifestation of God's power that was in all of this. But in this case, I would believe that it was that they probably were afraid of the you know, the temple guards and the
Well, where is Solomon's portico? That's probably a good point that you bring up there, Pastor Boyce Clare. Where is this place?
Well, it's a part of the temple. I don't have a picture of the temple there, but I think it was sort of a beautiful part of it that there was a colonnade and maybe it was, you know, sort of welcomed the opportunity for the people of God to talk about.
I mean, just off the top of your head, do you know what function that part of the temple served?
Obviously a place where there could be, you know, not there wasn't any sacrificing going on there or anything.
So this is maybe where the rabbis would hang out and teach and
Yeah. That would sort of be the idea.
Ah, okay. So that would make sense then for why you know, the apostles are now there at Solomon's portico. Picking up at verse 14. And more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns in Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And that's the text for today. So there's a little bit of mysticism here that maybe we should take a look at, because when they talk about Peter's shadow falling on some of them, is that just a literary play of words, or is that absolutely true, that all you had to do was have Peter's shadow touch you and you'd be miraculously healed?
Well, there's no promise given with that respect, and you know, that's basically how faith works. That faith trusts the promise that's given. But Christ did foretell the fact that greater deeds than he had done would be done by his apostles. And in this case, it's, you know, in the case of Christ, you know, he would lay hands on people and heal them. In this case, it was, in one case, of course, there was the lady with the flow of blood that just touched the hem of his garment. And of course, it's the faith that the Lord created in their hearts to trust in, you know, God's presence to heal in the apostles that in a sense connected them to the Lord who healed them through that, and it was just, I mean, again, obviously, you know, this you know, it was just his shadow that fell on these people that caused them to be healed. It's sort of a, you know, again, it's just what God decides to do in the manner in which he, you know, to draw the people to the Word of God, to the gospel.
You know, and this fear, I just noticed the progression here. If you look at verse 5, when Ananias dies, it says, "And a great fear came upon all who heard of it." And then you get to verse 11, and now Sapphira has died, and it says, "A great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things." And the amazing bit is, Pastor Boyce Clare, that in spite of all this fear, more and more people are being added to the numbers.
Yes.
Go figure.
Obviously, they can see by these signs that it is God that is the one who is behind all of this. Just like Gamaliel tells, you know, the Sanhedrin, you know, you be careful what you do to these guys. You know, if God is not with them, then everything they do will pass away, because, you know, it's something that's of human origin. But if it is God who is the one who is empowering them and behind them, then nothing you do will be able to stop them, and you will find yourself in that terrible situation of fighting against God himself. And so, in a sense, you know, this is the hand of God that's manifesting itself through the ministry of the apostles.
A couple of Sundays ago, the reading from Mark was about the Mount of Transfiguration, and as Jesus comes down with three of the disciples, the other nine are at the foot of the mountain, and they're having trouble casting a demon out.
Yes.
And this is where the Father makes that great declaration, you know, "I believe, help my unbelief," where he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, please do anything."
Yes.
What's changed between that moment where the disciples are sort of hapless and can't cast out a simple demon to the point where now Peter's shadow is just touching people and they're being healed? What's changed?
Well, as Jesus said, you will receive power, authority, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That it's in accordance with the promise of Christ that they would receive power from the Holy Spirit to do ministry in this particular case.
And where is that power today?
It's in the Word, it's in the Gospel, and the sacraments, and when, you know, and in a sense, that is even, as Luther says, a greater miracle than the creation of heaven and earth is faith in the heart of a human being, to trust that Jesus Christ, by his life, death, and resurrection, it provides for me all that I need for eternity, all the righteousness that I need to stand before God on Judgment Day. And for a human heart to believe it is a greater miracle than the creation of heaven and earth, and that's what Martin Luther put it. And we're thinking a lot about Martin Luther because Reformation Day is fast approaching.
It is. We're working on some very special programming for that day too.
And so
I think we'll have to call you back and talk to you about that.
Absolutely.
So what was the purpose of these signs and wonders, and the fact that we've got about a minute left, maybe a few seconds longer? The purpose of these signs and wonders for this time, and why we don't do the same things now?
Well, this was the time in which the church was being established. It is obviously the apostles had a unique ministry because they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of our Lord. They were laying the foundations, and God was bearing witness to their testimony. And of course, because their testimony is inscripturated, put into the Holy Bible, and that is the Word of God, that in our day and age we have God's Word, and the Holy Spirit is still active to this very day through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And at that time, of course, God decided to kind of really put an emphasis on this building of the foundation of the church, which is, and in a sense, as we believe that the church is built upon the Word of God, and it's like sometimes a very beautiful picture is an open Bible and a church, a building on the top of the Bible, and so that's the foundation that we're built upon.
Pastor David Boies Clair serves two congregations, Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Church. You can find them in the southern part of the northern part, or the North County area of St. Louis County.
Yeah.
Don't forget, it's 3000 Lucas and Hunt, just about a half a mile south of Natural Bridge. Everything's a dollar. You should go check it out tomorrow when they open. 10 o'clock, right, Pastor?
Hey, great. We'd love to have you.
Thanks so much. All the best. Ask the Pastor is coming up next. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.